You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Tomorrow, 11 o'clock, it's Film Week, as it is every Friday. I'll be joined by critics Claudia Puig and Amy Nicholson. We'll hear what they have to say about a new Judd Apatow film. It's The King of Staten Island, starring Pete Davidson, and the character he plays draws on some elements of his real life. Marissa Tomei co-stars, Bill Burr in the cast as well. The King of Staten Island, we'll hear about that. Also, the new Spike Lee film, To Five Bloods, as four African-American veterans return to Vietnam decades after the war. And also Kenneth Branagh's new movie, Artemis Fowl, starring Ferdia Shaw and Lara McDonald. Those are just a few of the films our critics will review tomorrow on Film Week at 11 o'clock here on KPCC. And The Frame's John Horn will also be interviewing writer, director, producer Judd Apatow about The King of Staten Island and about other matters of having production suspended during this era of COVID-19. That's part of Film Week tomorrow right here on KPCC. Well, speaking of COVID-19, from the UC Irvine School of Medicine, professor of medicine and associate medical director for epidemiology and infection prevention, Dr. Shruti Gohil is back with us. Dr. Gohil, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So let's talk first about additional reopenings that are coming to Southern California later this week, as we're going to see gyms and, additional places opening up here in California. Your thoughts about things with distancing and masking still in place, but most things except large gatherings opening up?
Yeah, you know, it's really, really tough balance, isn't it? We came into this situation in, February and March, on the West Coast at least, and didn't know where we would be heading. And I think that many of us, by June, July, had thought that the cases would abate, that we would see some stabilization. We certainly, certainly did flatten the curve with all the actions taking place in March and onwards here. But how long can society and our economy sustain these types of measures? And can we sensibly reopen? I think the question is important. The question is good. It is hard as a healthcare epidemiologist and an infectious disease physician to start seeing our numbers locally continue to sort of climb, not drop as we may have wanted it to by this point, or certainly by the summer. So, I'm holding my breath, I must say.
And do we see any shift as cases continue to rise in the fatality rate for COVID-19? Or does it appear that the death rate of the coronavirus is staying fairly consistent?
I do think it's staying somewhat consistent here, but many things come into play on that. You know, when I say that the numbers are sort of increasing, you do see the numbers I'm most interested in some ways, because of the overall mortality, as you alluded to, is the hospitalization numbers. And let's just take Orange County. We are seeing an increase in the number of people being hospitalized and requiring ICU care. These people end up being those who are older and at the highest risk. And so that is sobering, and it may be driven by some of the nursing home outbreaks that we're seeing locally. So it's hard to sort of completely judge that. But if you look at, when somebody gets a coronavirus, how many people are actually dying from coronavirus, it really is a stable number around, 1 to 2.5% on the West Coast. So we have good capacity. For example, in Orange County, with 50% of our hospital beds available for this type of COVID type of patient. So we have plenty of room, but if cases continue to climb, as I expect them to do in October, in the fall, I think we could really be in some trouble later on. So we do need to take it with week at a time, day at a time.
We're talking with Dr. Shruti Gohil, UC Irvine School of Medicine. If you have questions for her about the latest on COVID-19, we're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. For Los Angeles County, starting tomorrow, gyms can reopen, museums, hotels, day camps, and arena sports can be held again without public audiences in attendance at those events. All of that opens up in Los Angeles County tomorrow. Now, in Orange County, a couple of days ago, the public health officer, Dr. Nicole Quick, resigned after her order that face masks be used when residents go into places of business was met by criticism of some residents. She reportedly received threats, and Dr. Quick resigned her position. Dr. Gohil, your thoughts about that?
It's really unfortunate. You know, I think that while it isn't completely clear how masks may work in a non-healthcare setting, we certainly can guess that, again, you're shaving off pieces of risk each time you add something that could help people. And it's unfortunate that that the attempts on public health side to make as many efforts as it could to minimize risk was met with this type of activity. But that said, I do think that the public, from what I'm seeing, there is a loosening in mask wearing. But I do see a lot of people making their own personal choices to go ahead and use their masks. And I think it's going to actually end up being all about public education, all about how to wear a mask correctly, how to wash your hands, and maybe efforts on that end, whether a city ordinance is in place or not. Really focusing on that would be probably, in my opinion, a critical point.
We're talking with Dr. Shruti Gohil, UC Irvine School of Medicine. She's an authority in epidemiology and infection prevention, professor of medicine at UCI School of Medicine. 866-893-KPCC. You can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk page. We had yesterday the announcements that the 2020 Coachella and Stagecoach music festivals in Indio are being canceled. At the same time, Disneyland set its reopening date for mid-July. What is the reasoning, in your view, behind Disneyland being able to reopen, but mass events like the music festivals not being deemed safe?
I think that line is really, really hard to draw that one in the sand. You know, Disneyland, certainly you have a broad age range. You have children all the way up into a senior category in sometimes close proximity and sometimes indoor ventilated. I'm not sure what the ventilation is like in some of the rides, but, you know, sometimes when you're waiting in line, you're in indoor spaces. And so, and lots of areas for contact. And so when some place like Disneyland opens up, you know, if they have the right protocols in place and are able to enforce some degree of compliance, one could see a reopening. But I have to admit, I am very, very curious to see how that plan is going to be borne out. And again, you know, it still comes back to me that it's all about that public education. And what are we as individuals going to do when we walk in? You know, if we make a choice to go to Disneyland, what is going to be our own personal mechanism of protection? Are we going to carry hand hygiene around? Are we going to go ahead and wear that mask when we're standing in line in close proximity? And if we did those things, you could very well see that you could reopen and re-engage at a certain level without risking too much. And if you're older and if you have immunocompromising conditions or something that really you shouldn't be in Disneyland, and you stay home and you don't go to places like that, you know, you can see that you can predict, you know, protect the public with a really, really strong engagement plan on education. I think that's where I would put my efforts. Now, Coachella, you know, as an avid music fan myself, I must say it, I saw that one coming, and it makes good sense not to get that many people all in one area.
Because you can't really distance, right? Everybody gets together shoulder to shoulder.
Exactly. shoulder to shoulder, and you're in these concert venues where, exactly, so I think you hit the nail on the head. It's just people are way too close. And even if you're wearing a mask, you know, there's a lot of, joyous kind of shouting and screaming.
Exultation.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll continue with Dr. Shruti Gohil. She's professor of medicine, associate medical director for epidemiology and infection prevention at UC Irvine School of Medicine. You'd think all the weeks I've been pronouncing that, I wouldn't stumble. We'll continue, and we'll take your calls with questions at 866-893-KPCC. At least I remember the number. Back in 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. You just heard from Nick Roman talking about All Things Considered. And I want to remind you, in case you've gotten out of the habit, because you're home during that time, working from home, or if unfortunately you're not working right now because of what's happened to the economy during COVID-19, remember you can ask your smart speaker, either powered by Google or Amazon, to play KPCC, and Nick will be there every afternoon, just as though you're driving in the car. Nick's there side by side with you. You should walk around the house instead of in your passenger seat. That's All Things Considered. Nick Roman here, and of course, Suzanne Whatley every morning on Morning Edition here on 89.3 KPCC. Coming up next hour, we'll talk about affirmative action in California as Prop 209, which was passed more than two decades ago, is up for review potentially as soon as the November ballot in California. We'll talk about where that potential repeal of the ban on affirmative action in California public higher education and in state hiring, where that stands. Right now, we're talking with Dr. Shruti Gohil, UC Irvine School of Medicine, where she's professor and associate medical director for epidemiology and infection prevention. Sharon in Sherman Oaks says, I want to swim in my condominium pool. The complex, which is 18 units, considering staggering schedules for people, does Dr. Gohil think it's safe? And what is the best way to manage pool use?
Great question. One of my first questions would be around the crowding, of course. You know, is it possible in that space to create the 6-foot distance and be able to manage that? And if so, that seems like a reasonable thing to do, especially if you stagger the activity and make sure that, you know, there's no more than the own family unit in one spot at a time. Now, when you're swimming, you know, in the actual pool itself, you would think that it would be a chlorinated pool. And if so, should feel quite reassured that any germs that are in a pool that has chlorine in it, that coronavirus happens to be pretty easy to kill. That said, think about your own symptoms before you show up. Or, one of the things I would say for your condominium unit would be to make sure that people who are symptomatic are not allowed to enter. How does that get enforced?
Good luck with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
In an 18-unit complex, you're not hiring someone to screen swimmers.
Right. So it all comes down to, again, public education, public feeling of community to say that I'm going to do my part to protect everyone around me. And that takes a little bit of a shift sometimes for some people.
Iban asks on the page, when should we expect a reliable antibody serology test, given the current ones produce large numbers of false positives?
Is the question around when will it be available?
When can we expect a reliable antibody serology test that's available for people to be tested?
Yeah, it's, the reliability, that's an important question, because the actual test itself, if there is antibody present in somebody's system, can it find it? Many of these tests are able to find it. That's not so much the issue as how do we interpret these tests. So if you and I have an antibody to this particular virus, do we know that it's going to be protective, and will we know how long it's going to last? This is the question that is only going to be answered in the rearview mirror. It's going to be answered after time, after we get many serologic tests out there, and then we understand, looking backwards, studies are done to see if people who are re-exposed, perhaps during the upcoming surge this fall, do you get sick or not, right? We're only going to know this in retrospect. So, but the availability, I will say that there are many tests that are out there. They all have differences in the how well we can interpret them clinically. But if you actually have the virus, you have the antibodies in place, many of them are purportedly pretty sensitive and specific. The question, again, is interpretation.
We have Hugo writes on the page, to your knowledge, is there any work being done on a whole virion-killed vaccine similar to the original Salk polio vaccine?
That is an outstanding question.
We have very smart listeners. Well, as you know from being on the show.
That's a very educated question. And to my understanding, there are a couple of entities, companies who have looked at it, who are beginning to look at it. But I don't believe that the production of something like that is being prioritized because of the amount of time it will take. And this virus, similar to the cold virus, it is thought that the mutation rate makes that a little bit more sort of difficult to tackle. But no, to my knowledge, nothing that I have seen that has come up that really looks convincing that is an approach that's being really actively looked at.
I hope I'm not mischaracterizing what Dr. Anthony Fauci said, but I thought he said a few days ago that this coronavirus is in many ways more complex than HIV.
Yes. It's so interesting. We're learning so much about how this virus is able to infect and do what it can do, the way it plays out in the human body, what it can, the downstream of impacts of inflammation and making blood clots, for example, and how our body tries to deal with the virus itself is really secondary problems.
Yeah, I thank you for being with us again, Dr. Shruti Gohil, UC Irvine School of Medicine, where she's professor and associate medical director for epidemiology and infection prevention. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We got a jam-packed hour next. Tell you about it in a moment.